Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Hey, this is JJ French. Through 5 decades in the music industry, having sold over 20 million records, performed over 9,000 shows, and receiving 37 gold and platinum albums as a musician, manager, and record producer, I'm also an author, motivational speaker, marathon runner, inductee into the Long Island Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, guitar collector, and a founding member of a little band you may have heard of called Twisted Sister. Now I'm ready to share the secrets of my survival in one of the most vicious and predatory businesses on earth, the music business. In my new podcast, The French Connection, The Music Business and Beyond, on Podcast One. Get ready to hear real inside stories from me and my famous guests as they tell you how it's really done, not just in the music industry either. I guarantee that you will always learn something unexpected from successful survivors from many walks of life. That's the beyond part that I'm so excited about. Don't miss The French Connection, The Music Business and Beyond with me, JJ French, Tuesdays on Podcast One, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Well, we're getting some hot threshold and door talk, a little controversy.
And some potential paranormal activity in home improvement, which is always a treat.
And not that you haven't heard it on almost every other podcast, but we weigh OSB, sturdy floor, inch and an eighth, versus plywood, inch and an eighth, sturdy floor. And the results are astounding. Astounding.
Yep, they really are.
Stromer's dead nuts on. All right, first I'll tell you about Tommy John. Had enough to deal with this year? I'd say so. How about we make it easy for those gifts? How about we get some Tommy John's loungewear, men's, women's. Say bye to the old stained sweatpants. Tommy John loungewear is luxurious, soft, and guaranteed to fit perfectly. Loungewear, pajamas, and underwear come in limited edition sets, perfect for gifting. But they sell out quickly, as they do every year. The stuff is so great. I have it. I always wear the underpants. I always wear the T-shirts. But now I lounge around in the loungewear, and it is so soft and so comfortable. There's a no risk. There's no risk, by the way. Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed. It's Tommy John, right, man?
Order now. Go to TommyJohn.com/ace for $30 off site-wide and get last-minute holiday deals for a limited time only. That's $30 off for a limited time at TommyJohn.com/ace. TommyJohn.com/ace. See site for details.
This is Corolla Digital.
Master Carpenter, who's here to help you out? If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house. Ace on the house. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church.
There's a mandate. Get it on.
I'm hanging mirror today.
Yeah, you are. You got your cup, your suction cups, or you're just doing small mirrors with a wire on the back?
No, I'm doing big mirrors. 344 wide by 100 inches.
And where are those going, may I ask?
They're going on a wall so that the entire wall shall be mirrors. And what people don't – oh, here's a little tip that I didn't know. When I was ordering this stuff, I said to Matt, the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, I said, what is a standard mirror length? Is it 8 foot? You know, in my world, everything's 8 foot.
Yeah.
Evidently, it's 100 inches.
Really? You mean like they manufacture it in the factories and give it to the glass stores to cut mirror from at 100-inch pieces?
I think so, and it kind of makes sense. If you're going floor to ceiling on a mirror, like, I don't know, like you're doing a gym or something, you know, and some ceilings are 8 foot one or 8 foot and change or something like that, then you'd want to get to that 8 foot mark and then give yourself 4 inches to scribe it or cut it or customize it or whatever it.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it could just be this particular place, but it makes sense that 100 inches.
Now, do you think when looking in these mirrors, you'll have an overhead light so you can attain some of the famous classic poses of the great bodybuilders of the 60s and 70s, like the Frank Zanes and the Arnold Schwarzeneggers, and get that Archer pose going? I've been showing my son lately how to get that exact look and the sweeping vibe of the graceful posing routine.
Yeah, I do what I call, for my son, I do what I call the Frank Colombo crab move. It's a crab.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, for the traps.
Yeah, for the traps.
The trap reveal. Yeah.
Yeah, 100 inches.
And does he respond?
I do it when he's asleep. So I don't want to freak him out. You know what I mean?
He just hears you going like that. And then
yeah, I come in somewhere between 3 a.m. and 5:45 and do it. It's not always at the same time.
With a full pose routine with headphones on.
I don't always oil up either. I'm not a weirdo.
Because you got to get back in your own bed. You don't want to feel uncomfortable.
Well, I'll use glycerin. I don't use baby oil anymore because
that's right.
That's hard to get off. The glycerin, that's water soluble. I can rinse that off in a shower.
And have you experienced or felt that he's somehow transformed? Just from the vibe of you doing that in the middle of the night or no?
I can tell. I don't know if others can. I had a funny, your workers who you always miscommunicate with because they never know what you're talking about.
I do.
So I ordered 3 of these mirrors, 44 by 100 inches. And then I also ordered the J-metal mounting strip. So you put the J-metal at the bottom because the wall's like 12 feet high, and then you tilt it up. Okay, so
do you do globs of mastic, mirror mastic in the back?
Yeah, up top or in the middle to try to level it. But you definitely hang them on this J-metal that you level and screw into the studs first. So I had my guy, Kevin, sweet kid, never knows what the fuck I'm talking about. So he hopped in the dually and last week, and he went to the place, and I ordered these 3 mirrors and the stainless steel J-metal hanging strip, which I think comes in 12-foot pieces. And you cut them to length. So I sent him a text yesterday because he said, I got the mirrors. You know, I dropped the mirrors off at the place, blah, blah, blah. I said, did you get, now I didn't want to call it J-metal because I realized that probably would have confused him. And I didn't know what else to call it. So I said, did you also pick up the mounting strip? Singular. The mounting strip. He then texted back, I think they're in the dually. Now, he drove the dually over there. He drove the dually to the mirror place, picked up the stuff, took it out to the condo, and dropped it off. So my first thought is why would the mounting strips be in the dually? And also, why did he say there in the dually when I said the mounting strip? Then I have to do what I always have to do, which is I have to call him and try to sort through the rubble of this text conversation.
And what happens? Does he do the denial thing, or does he just sort of agree and go, huh? Yeah.
I said, what mounting strips are in the dually? There's only one mounting strip. And then why is it in the dually? I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, I thought you were talking about those little rubber bumpers that come on the mirror to protect it.
And then you said,
well, that's what it first. Well, how could that be the mounting strip? How's that? What have to do with mounting the mirrors? And then secondly, you could reply, I don't know exactly what you mean, but I got 3 mirrors in a 12-foot long stainless steel thing that's shaped like a J. You don't have to go, I think those are in the dually.
Right.
Which
just doesn't want to appear. He wants to appear that he knows all answers so he doesn't get his ass chewed out.
Which, of course, scared me and confused me. I was like, well, why would you leave something in the dually if you took the dually to go drop this stuff off? Anyway, got it sorted out.
Wait, are the mirrors in?
The mirrors aren't in. You guys will be interested to know that it's a little bit of a tight staircase, and the mirrors are, again, approximately 44 or exactly 44 inches by 100 inches. And that is a big sheet. That is a big sheet of mirror to be carrying up a tight staircase with, you know, in a 90s building with the stucco all around it. So,
and so is it one guy carrying this, or do you have a bunch of dudes with suction cups?
I got three dudes, but I don't think one dude could handle basically a 4 by 8.5 sheet of quarter inch mirror. So, but my main, I don't care about their backs. I care about the cracks. I don't want the mirror to get dinged or cracked. You know, you just catch a corner and that's the end of that. So, I got together with my guy, Sean, who is not a carpenter, but he just has a great mind for fabrication and problem solving. Right. And I said, why don't we take an 8-foot sheet of plywood? Why don't we tack on about a foot to the end of it? Why don't we put 1x runners all around it, surface mount? And why don't we lay the mirror inside of those guides on this plywood, and then we'll put a couple of cross straps and we'll carry it with the plywood.
Oh, like a crate. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, like an open face sandwich crate. And then if anyone dings a corner or catches a corner, it's just going to hit, it's going to ding the plywood, and it'll give you something to hang on to. The plywood doesn't weigh that much. It'll be a safe way to get the stuff up the stairs.
Well, that's a hell of a good idea.
Yeah, I liked it. It's also nice talking to, when you talk to really smart, experienced guys, you can just be on the phone and you can both see the same picture in your head. You know what I mean? When you're explaining to them.
That's right.
And I was saying, and then take some scrap and put one across the bottom and one across the top and one across the middle to hold it kind of in place. So when you're carrying it up. And that he did. So he's over
there. That's actually a great idea.
It is when you're trying to take a really big sheet of mirror and go thread the needle up a kind of a windy stucco staircase and get it into the front door of a condo.
Yeah.
So he's over there. He's working it out. God willing. I told him, take the J strip, put it down about, you know, here's what I told him.
Yeah.
The wall, the mirror is about 2 foot off the ground because the ceiling's like 12 foot. I said, take the J strip, measure 100 1/4 inch and do it right in the middle. Put the J strip, put a screw in the J strip and level it, and then go to the right and go to the left and take measurements. Make sure it's over 100 inches. And that way we can drop it into the J strip and tilt it up.
And lay it in, and you know it's going to be square and all level and beautiful. That's a great idea,
too. Yeah, and if there's a little,
and then the other thing too,
the
other thing, when you put the J strip on, you got to make sure that that's not tweaking into the wall, so it's somehow bending, and then you can't get the mirror in.
Yeah, you
so
can't.
Do you have any plan on that? Like, you know, those studs aren't going to be plumb at all, are they?
Yeah, I didn't really get into the shimming part, but the guy who's doing it is good, and he will work it out. Also, the J strip is not pre-drilled, so you got to drill it, and you got to countersink it, right, and use a flathead screw, because you don't want a panhead screw sticking up and catching the back of the mirror when you're dropping it in.
No, you don't. But God, are you going to be able to look at yourself?
Oh, my God. I will be crabbing days on
end. God, is that going to be good, right?
Yeah.
You got to get overhead light, though, so you can get those shadows. Come on.
I will be busting into my son's room and screaming, we're on the crab.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Tom's 40s from San Diego wants to remove a staircase. Tom?
Yeah. Hey, Ace Stromer, how's it going? Get along, guys.
Hi, guy.
What's up, Chat?
What's going on?
Hi, guy. Hey, Ace, real briefly, you and I spent about 30 minutes up on stage in Sacramento at Thunder Valley. I'm the Navy pilot. I got to pull your balls for a little bit. So.
Oh, we did.
I don't know if you remember that.
We did Unprepared.
Yeah, we did.
You're the Navy pilot, right?
San Navy Diego. Fighter pilot. I did that notably about a week before I left on what ended up being a 10-month deployment. So it was a real important memory to me and something to help me get through a rather shitty deployment. So I appreciate that, man.
Oh, what? Wow. What equipment were you flying?
I'm an F-18 guy.
Is that a Tomcat or is that an F-14?
F-14 is the Tomcat. That's the top gun plane. F-18, the newer one, is the Hornet or the Super Hornet.
So are you? Were you just genetically blessed with that eagle vision, and you have all that stuff to be able to qualify to actually do what you do?
No, it's kind of a right time, right place, and a good mix of athletic and semi-intelligent that'll get you there. But the vision stuff is actually kind of not important anymore. They'll just get you LASIK in college and you're good to go.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
How pumped?
Because everything's technology driven, right? You don't have to see much except the monitors.
No.
You fix your vision.
No, I get what you're saying. They just fix your vision up to 20.
I see. Okay, I got
20,
you.
So you're fine. Yeah.
How pumped are you about the new Top Gun movie coming out?
Well, I was really pumped because they were supposed to show it on the aircraft carrier that I'm stationed on as the opener, the big Hollywood open, and we're going to get to go, but that got shut down for COVID. So excited to see what they got. My wife and kids like watching the previews.
Come off of an aircraft carrier and then land back on it? That's what your job is?
Yeah, technically did. I'm past that part of my life, but I got about 700 of those traps under my belt. Jeez. So I did do that.
I can't even back out of my own driveway.
Romer hits every mailbox.
I hit everything. Everything.
Hey, listen, I don't know if you guys are going to be able to help me too much in this question, but because I didn't provide your screeners with a diagram or anything, but wanted to get your thoughts. I just bought a pretty big house, 4,700 square feet down here, going to be the forever home. And it's got two staircases. One is the standard kind of wraparound, good-looking entry staircase that you'd see in a regular old McMansion. And for some reason, I think the prior owner was a developer, thought that, you know, the three bedrooms upstairs needed a more private access. So right off the kitchen, it's got a stairwell that I find to be rather useless. I am planning on tearing it out and then giving myself a little extra room in what will eventually be like a kid's game room upstairs, which right now has the entry that takes up, you know, maybe 10 foot by 4 foot floor space. I'm planning on doing it myself, but I'm in a bit of a debate aesthetically and ergonomically with my wife on whether or not we want to go ahead with it. I was wondering if you guys have any thoughts. 4,700 square foot, isn't two stairwells a little bit ridiculous? And then
how's your kid going to sneak out of the house or smoke of the pot in the stairwell if you get rid of it?
Well, I'm trying to kind of get both my kids to be like fat video gamers and just hang out upstairs all day. So, and now pot's legal down here, so I don't have a leg to stand on. But they're 4 and 5, so I'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Well, let me say this. Tom is the great Santini, and his kids will never cross him.
Oh, they won't.
I've seen this movie.
Yes.
No, I married an angry little Vietnamese lady, and she's kind of got that market cornered. So I'm a little bit more of an apathetic father.
All right. Well, it's kind of hard to tell, you know, whether to, you know, aesthetically, since we can't see it. I'm with you. It takes up a kind of big footprint, takes up some space. Is it a staircase that is just kind of framed and drywalled and through and through that way?
Yep. It's I wouldn't be tearing down any supporting walls. I don't believe it's just kind of a little half wall that runs up to the top.
And are joists missing and framed around this vertical rectangle that is the stairwell?
No, it looks like the stairwell was designed originally. So all the supporting walls are where they should be. It wasn't, nobody cut a hole out of an existing floor.
All right, well, it's easy. Is the stairs, are they carpeted? Are they have vinyl on them or wood?
They're wood, I believe. I do have on the bottom or below the stairwell, there is a fairly large piece of air conditioner ducting, and I don't know if it's an intake output situation, but I think that'll be fairly simple to relocate.
Well, if you want to tear the stairs down, I mean, obviously you got to pop the drywall off on the outside and,
yep,
you know, just start going at it. What year's the house?
2006 or seven.
Hmm. I wonder if that plywood is drilled or they nailed it off of like ring shank nails or something like that. Either way, get a cat's paw, you know, get a hammer.
Take a look at it.
Strip everything off. Take a look at it. A lot of people want to pull nails, on the framing and that kind of stuff. Get a battery operated sawzall. Get one of those long, like 9-inch bimetal cutting blades, and everywhere a 2x4 is bumping into a header and toenailed or whatever, just buzz through it. Just go right through that crack.
Okay.
Just cut those 16 penny nails off. A lot of people try to pull the nails or they try to bang on the things. Just get that sawzall, get that bi-cutting metal blade, and drop it in every time you see two pieces coming together. When you drop it in, it'll just buzz right through what, you know, the two 16 pennies that are holding it on or whatever, and do it that way. It's less messy. It's not, you know, it's more surgical. You can take everything off in sort of bite-sized morsels. Once you get the thing all the way out, obviously the opening is all headed off and, you know, made to as a landing. You can then get joist hangers and just drop in the right size joist. You know, you can like surface mount the joist hangers and just drop them in, because you're going to have a rim joist going all the way around that thing, the opening I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And once you, you know, hang your, all right, you're going to have to bust out the corner bead. So you got a drywall ceiling, right?
Yep.
And then,
yep.
Does the drywall turn up and go up toward the landing?
No, it's actually all, it's got wood trim all around it.
Oh.
The drywall kind of starts on the other side.
Well, whenever you're patching in the drywall, don't patch it and have it go against corner bead. If you got a metal corner bead, you got to dig that stuff out and rip it out. You don't want that seam. It's just not going to be a good
look. Yeah, I did about a year of drywall. The drywall's going to come easy to me. I haven't really dug into floor joists and the more structural stuff.
Well,
but I think it should be simple.
Use hangers. It'll be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, up top, I mean, it'd be nice to have like sturdy floor, like inch and an eighth, something that's, you know, TNG OSB style. The house probably has 3/4 subflooring up there. Hopefully it's got inch and an eighth. Sturdy floor. Anyway, obviously you have to match the elevation. You have to match it up top. You have to match it, you know, for the subfloor up top. You have to match it, you know, for the drywall down below. I would use subfloor adhesive on the subfloor that I'm putting in on my hung joist. And I would screw it off too.
Do you see any problems if I do want to have that small portion be upgraded to the 1 1/8? If I find 3/4 as the existing subflooring, would it be worth my time to upgrade it, or should I just stick with the 3/4 to keep all the measurements tracking?
The floor?
The subflooring, yeah.
Yeah, no, make it the same level as whatever's
there.
No,
he's saying that. He just wants to know whether to drop it down.
Oh, no. No, just match.
I don't think it'd be worth it.
No, worth it. No, what it is, they did. You got to figure out their math. So they're going to be like,
Yeah.
We have 5/8 drywall on the lid, on the ceiling. We use 3/4 subflooring or 1 1/8, whatever they used. Thus, we used a 2x10 joist, and that was the math. That's how we came out to this overall thickness. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So, yeah, that makes sense. That's the plan.
Yeah. Okay. So it you,
and then block your joists. Don't just have them all flopping around. You got to make sure you block them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm agnostic about that because the span is only going to be like 5.5 or 6 feet, right? Or I don't know what direction you're going.
I'd put a block in for sure.
Yeah, I gotta find that out too. I suppose I'll figure all that out once I demo.
And then will beneath it be a room also? And are you going to move the AC stuff or just leave it there?
I'm thinking about building a utility closet to give me some extra storage space, house the AC, whatever that AC unit is, and then turn where the stairwell currently exists into a mud room since it's right off the garage.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little, we don't really have much mud here in San Diego, but just a place for jackets and a bench for the kids.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, sir.
You do not need to run the joists the same direction the existing joists are running. If you want to run them the short way, you can run them the short way of the opening.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Yeah, because you're not matching anything. You're not hooking up to anything.
I guess not.
You can run them the short way if you want. And then here's a wild idea that you and your wife can argue about. And maybe you do it, maybe you don't. Maybe you do it. There's also a version where you do it for a little while and then you see what happens. There's a version of this where you leave the opening as a kind of an architectural detail where you can see through it, not a stair. You eliminate the staircase, but you keep the opening and put like a railing around it and turn it into like an architectural detail. Just kind of possibly interesting. I have no idea if it would work out or not, but something to consider before you go full demo joists and subfloor.
That's a good idea. I think, I'll let her choose.
You mean so you're just looking down like a proscenium or whatever?
Yeah, like you get some cool wrought iron railing made up or something like that, and you make it sort of a cool pass-through, like just a kind of a like an architectural detail. The reason I like ideas like this is you could do that, live with it for 2 years, and then go, fuck it, I'm gonna put my joists into my subfloor. Like, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah, now I'm thinking of a fireman's pole.
Yeah.
Oh, now you're talking about Batman.
And when you say fireman's, we know what you're talking about. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for your service.
Adam. See you, Strummer.
Take care, man.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, see you, bud. Take care.
I love me a pilot, man.
Yeah, that guy can do stuff with that plane, I would imagine. Jeez.
Taking off on a carrier, man.
You imagine?
You got to turn and burn, man.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do, Goose. Am I right?
When you feel the need, the need for speed. I could never be an actor because I would read in the script, I feel the need. It would say in script, Maverick says to Goose, I feel the need for speed. And then we do the fake high five, flip it over, catch it on the bottom side. And I'd just be like, I don't know. That feels a little presumptuous or something. Like if my character was a real human being, he would be an asshole.
Yeah.
If he said that. All right. Let me tell you about Tommy John. You guys have had enough to deal with all year. Let's not get all complicated with the holidays. You want to take care of yourself and everybody on your list. Tommy John men's and women's loungewear. Say bye to old stained sweatpants. Tommy John's loungewear is luxurious, soft, and guaranteed to fit perfectly. Loungewear, pajamas, underwear come in limited edition sets, perfect for gifting, but they sell out quick, so order soon. No risk with the Tommy John best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. It's the best. We all wear it here. The loungewear is scrumptious. It's Tommy John, right, man?
Order now. Go to TommyJohn.com/ace for $30 off site-wide and get last-minute holiday deals for a limited time only. Get $30 off for a limited time at TommyJohn.com/ace. TommyJohn.com/ace, A-C-E. See site for details.
In other words, what you're saying is that you completely judge the material and you would not be able to say other people's words because you think it's stupid.
I wouldn't.
Hey, writer, no one would say this bullshit. This is terrible writing. And then you're fired.
I couldn't be in the Fast and Furious franchise because I couldn't look someone in the eye seriously and say, I live my life a quarter mile at a time. I feel like an asshole.
You would. I understand, man.
We got a vid question, an email.
Well, this one's actually a hybrid. Starts with an email and goes to a video.
Get
first,
out of here.
The email. This is all from Dan. Hey, guys, I called in a few weeks ago with a question about adding molding to the wall in a grid-like pattern. After your call and words of encouragement, he put that in quotes, we rethought the plan and went with what you see in the photos. My wife tells me this grid style is called board and batten, so hopefully that clarifies what I was trying to describe. She's happy with it, so I think it'll stay up longer than the 6 to 9 months you gave it, unless it falls first. And now he's got a video question having to do with a threshold.
Ooh, first off, I'm the king of thresholds.
Yeah,
I've made so many goddamn custom thresholds, I can't even count them anymore. So please bring your threshold questions here. Go ahead. Front door.
Please, man, Stromer, get it on. Mm-hmm. We're looking to replace the front door here. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, I want to make sure that we get the threshold right. As you can see, it's pretty off, and it's also pretty high. It's a bit of a tripping hazard. Mm-hmm. I think it's... Yeah, you can see it's pretty high, and there's a gap here.
It's aluminum threshold.
The entire way. On the outside, which is an enclosed entryway, there's this stone step that the threshold sits on.
Yeah.
And that, too, is a pretty shitty job, if I must say.
Yeah.
I think this stone is probably a quarter inch higher than this hardwood. But... we would need to obviously level that out. I'm not sure what you would recommend we do to make that all right. And I thought you guys might have a good recommendation. And remember, we're going to go and replace the door itself because we want to spruce it up a bit. Thanks for your suggestions.
Hmm. So wait, are we under the assumption that the floor is completely out and the door was set level? Because it looked to be like a quarter to three quarters of an inch higher on the left than the right.
I don't know. I'm not going to address that this second because I can't really tell. I don't like the aluminum threshold. It's got a little sort of row house to it or something. Got a little trailer park to it. I'm not a fan of the aluminum threshold. I will say this, I don't know if he's planning on hanging this new door himself, but be careful. It is hard to hang a front door, especially stain grade oak front door, in a pre-existing door jamb, which could be off in many directions.
Right.
I've had stucco on the outside too, right?
I
couldn't tell what was on the outside because he had a little porch thing there. But either way... get a good door hanger in there. This is not a kind of DIY weekend project. It could be a bear. If that jam is twisted at all or not plumb or not level in certain ways, I've done it. I've hung the biggest pain in the ass job I ever had was hanging two big custom oak doors in a like 60s house in the hills, and the fucking thing was way off, and it was just doesn't appear, or it does appear, it does appear to be stuck on the outside side, so scary.
So that's also a nightmare. Go ahead. Unless he's going to keep the existing jam.
Well, that's what I assumed he was going to do, but I don't know. An oak threshold is always a nicer look than the aluminum. I get the elevation part where you don't want it to be hanging out that high.
You could also hear when he opened and shut the door that it's a hollow core, lightweight front door that's, you know, crap. So he's probably going for something that's more substantial.
Hold on. That is not a hollow core door.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not.
Listen,
I don't even know. All right.
Listen
to
when he
slams
it
again. I don't even think there's such a thing as a hollow core front door.
It's one of those lightweight, sort of wrapped in some skin door.
Oh, okay. Like
you know
a vinyl or something.
Yeah, exactly. You like could hear the way it's shut.
Like a clad door.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. I accept my apology, please.
No worries, of course.
All right. So, honestly, what I would do... Gary's going
to
shut it.
Listen to
that. But we would need to obviously level that out. I'm not sure what you would recommend that we do.
Nothing. I can tell forensically. I know forensically, orally, I can tell that it is not a quality door.
I bet if you got hold of this guy, he would tell you it's solid core.
Obviously, level that out. I'm not sure what you would recommend.
Come on, that's nothing. I heard it. It's like the Zapruder film. I know this. I can tell.
I would say, here's how I would approach this.
Yeah,
I would find myself someone who was an expert at this shit. And I would consult with them and I would ask them, you know, what they want to do. Tell me you want to upgrade the threshold and you want an oak threshold and blah, blah, blah. And then let them do it because it'll then be all their responsibility. If the door sticks or the deadbolt doesn't turn in easy.
The stucco patch on the outside, nightmare.
If there is, I don't know. He may be leaving the existing jam and swinging the new door inside of the existing jam. But what I would say is farm it out and consult about the elevation of the threshold with the guy and make him in charge of everything. And when it's all done and works perfectly, pay him the second half or the remainder of the bill. All right. Kevin lives near a busy intersection. There are a lot of car accidents cause a car to come through the fence.
Oh,
he's worried about this happening again. He's wondering if there's anything he can do to make the fence car accident proof. You know, Jimmy Kimmel, when he was in Vegas, when he was growing up in Vegas, his house was one of those kind of weird track houses with the stucco, with the cinder block wall that ran all along the back, and it ran all along the highway, main highway, and a guy died in his backyard, like busted, got in a car accident, went through the wall, and actually died in his backyard.
You're kidding.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Well, what about you know, the low piers that folks install in city scenarios? It's the only thing that stops a car from coming through. Don't try and reinforce the fence. You gotta barricade it with some other low pier, like a post that's filled with concrete, and do like four of them across the area where the car could come through and kill your children while they're playing in their pool.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of weird things that are popping into my mind. There are those like barrels you see by the side of the freeway that are filled with sand.
Yeah.
There's that move. That's not something you're going to want to stare at, but that would probably... It's probably a poor man's version of it. Like you buy a couple of 35-gallon plastic trash cans and just fill them with silica sand or something like that. Again, you don't want to look at it, but it would definitely slow car down. You know what I like, Stromer?
Huh.
I like a kind of a catch system. I like the notion of a cemented in anchor, kind of right and left, and two pieces of cable going across.
And you think that'll keep the vehicle from plowing through?
All it needs, I've studied the subject. I've studied the subject because of my racing history.
Yeah.
You need something that gives but doesn't really break. You know, you can't have something that's brittle. You get that cable going across, it's gonna slow the car down. It's gonna stop the car.
What do you think? Like three cables, like one at 12, one at 18, and one at 22 inches, and strung between two concrete or two posts buried in the cement, filled with concrete, and then screwed through those, and so that those can be low profile and not be as obvious as a bunch of yellow traffic space.
Yeah. I kind of like this cable idea. It doesn't need, the cable could be 3/4 inch thick, and yeah, you know, there's all kinds of fasteners and loops and connectors and, you know, tightening eye hooks and brackets and shit.
Yeah.
And you do that, you put two good fat ass posts, you know, 20 feet away apart, and you do the cable. Now, later on, don't come to me when the guy in the Miata was decapitated.
Yeah, or the girlfriend flies over the fence off the back of the bike into the pool and dies in front of the children.
Yeah, I'm with Stromer. I'd go 1 foot, 1 foot 24, 32 or something like that. You know, have a slightly higher one for the SUV crowd, you know.
And then don't worry about the fence. Just make that cosmetic. And then that system is what keeps the cars from coming through.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. Kevin's on the phone. I screwed this up. Sorry. Oh. Kevin, 38. Sorry about that.
Hey.
Hey, man. Sorry. Oh, no, talking that's about beautiful. You behind your How back. Are you? How big's your span you think you need?
Well, okay. Let me set up very, very quickly. So I live on North Ave, right? It's going straight into the city. I'm 17 miles out. It's one of those deals where you're supposed to be going 30, but people are doing 40, 45 kind of deal. Mm. And the side of my house, again, is up going down North Ave. So I have an alleyway that's essentially adjacent to my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone loses control heading towards the city, they might do a glancing blow off the retaining wall after they hit the curb, and that's not that big a deal. But the situation that played out was two people were going too fast. They weren't paying attention, lost control, and hit the absolute perfect angle into where the alleyway starts behind my house at an angle, hit our parking pad, which by code can't be squared off. It has to be a ramp, if you will, and did a Dukes of Hazzard through one of the fence panels, continued off the garage into the yard, into our back deck. So the biggest point of entry, or the biggest hazard, if you will, someone's essentially what just happened. So I'm like, do I sink some bollards into the back parking pad that would stop a truck? Or I'm kind of liking that cable idea because it helps me span. The span, to answer your question, is probably a good 20, 25 feet.
I think if you sunk two good size, not good size, take something hefty, like a 6x6 I-beam, you know, mm-hmm. and you sunk that down 3 feet minimum, maybe 4 feet, and you let it hang out 36 inches. And you drilled some holes in the tab, and you pulled the cable across. I think that would – what you see, what that would do – what here's what you want. You don't want to build a barrier where someone hits it and bounces off. You want to build a barrier where people hit it, and it just sort of envelops them and drags them down. I'll give you an example. Stromer.
Yeah.
You're a championship skier, right?
Course.
All right. You've done the big downhill slalom, right?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
When you watch that on the Olympics, they don't have barriers around it. They have a netting They have like a netting, and when people hit it at 70 miles an hour, they don't bounce off it. They get tangled in it, and it absorbs the inertia.
That's correct. 100% correct.
How about that for analogy,
so,
Kevin?
And so it, to your point, if you had rigid barriers, that could the car could still come up and over the barrier.
Or it could either bust through it or it could bounce off it, and the people driving it could get killed. But you need it to absorb the energy. Like, I'll give you another example. You know, when they have those long canyons out here in LA, or even on the Grapevine, or wherever you are, they have those sand traps at the bottom for the trucks. You know, the runaway trucks when the brakes go out on the trucks. They don't have a barrier. They have like a sand trap. Like they just go off and they just go mrom. It just absorbs the inertia. That's what you want.
Yeah, that's a tough one to visualize. I mean, what you're saying makes sense. My situation's tough for you to visualize. You can imagine how pissed I was when I walked out my back door. There was a lady sitting in the car like, yeah, I just fucked your shit up. So, yeah, that could be a way to go. I was kind of thinking sinking something deep into the ground so I could go pronounce them dead on scene myself next time it happened. But I feel you. I got you.
I like my cable idea, I think. And I think it was – I think my description of it was incredibly clear. Has a continuous leak in his home between the stucco and the inside walls. Cannot seem to find that. And then Matthew, 19, had a house fire about a year ago. The subflooring wasn't built correctly, and now his hardwood just keeps coming up.
Ooh.
Let's see. Let's talk to that guy. Matthew, 19, Washington State.
Yes, sir.
Hi,
guy. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Hi, guy. Oh, I'm not doing too shabby. Working in the rain, as always.
You're 19-year-old and you own a home?
No. Well, I'm refinancing with my grandfather, so I'm going to be on the house here soon. But I've been living with him, and I just help him around the house, fix it up, pay half the rent.
All right, good for you. So what's your subflooring situation?
So the house fire was about a year ago. They did a bunch of shit wrong, and we pulled the carpet out of my grandma's room because she was smoking in there, and it just built up in the carpet, and we found that it wasn't plywood. They just stapled eighth-inch wood sheathing over a bunch of 2x6s.
What? Oh, man.
Yeah. That's... and
eighth inch?
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, eighth inch. Like, you could just staple it in. It was just stapled in.
They must have taken 2x6s and laid them flat, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and then they skinned it with Luon.
Pretty much. And then went through, laid down the thicker rubber underlayment for some vinyl. And the vinyl is just coming up, tearing up. It's chipping all over the place. And this is like the ninth floor I've done vinyl, and I've never had an issue until now.
Well, obviously, everything there must go, right? All the existing
must go. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, and then you got to do it correctly with sturdy floor. I like the tongue and groove stuff because you don't have to block it. You don't have to block it crossways. So get some subfloor material, not 3/4 ply, but subfloor that has the tongue and the groove in it. Use a subfloor adhesive and screw it off.
So just to be clear, you don't want to do the OSB tongue and groove now?
No, you can do the OSB tongue and groove.
Okay.
You can get OSB tongue and groove sturdy floor, or you can get a plywood tongue and groove sturdy floor. I think the plywood's like another, $2 a sheet or something. It's probably a little lighter and maybe a little easier to deal with. That's a good question. Gary, what is the weight of, inch and an eighth, 4x8, TNG, sturdy floor, OSB versus plywood. Hurry. All right, Stromer, do your...
You think the OSB is heavier or lighter?
I think it's heavier.
What's your guess?
I think it's heavier.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right.
A little bit. All right, do
your
spot.
The folks at Geico, they have a question. Do you own or do you rent your home? Well, sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? I'll tell you, bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too. Why? Because you already have so much to do around your home. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's Geico, G-E-I-C-O, geico.com.
Do they have weights for that, Gary?
Is it possible that the OSB is 106 pounds?
Yes.
If it's an inch and an eighth, yeah, I guess it is.
It's 106 pounds. I'm still working on plywood.
Plywood's probably 40.
Are you high?
Less?
No, the plywood's not less than half the weight of the OSB.
I bet it's 40 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, it's just awkward.
Socially?
Well, yeah, that too. It's difficult being plywood.
I say the ply is lighter, but it is inch and an eighth, Stromer.
I'm sorry. I thought it was 3/4 we're talking about.
Well,
inch
just,
and an eighth
you just
plywood?
Said inch and an eighth.
Okay, I got you.
OSB, I mean,
okay, I'm gonna
sturdy
say the
goddamn plywood, floor. Come on.
I'm going to say the plywood at an inch and an eighth is probably 87 pounds.
Versus, what was that, 106?
106.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
The site that I'm looking at has it as softwood plywood or hardwood plywood. Which one would you like?
Softwood.
Softwood.
84 and a half.
Ooh, redemption for Stromer.
Thank you, sir.
Pure redemption. And non-redemption, but yes, another notch in my tool belt by saying that the ply is lighter. Now, people can kind of go, and I don't know what the prices are, Gary, but you got to factor this shit in, would you, people? Like, people go, oh, you know, the OSB is $2 a sheet lighter. All right, but it weighs 22 pounds more a sheet. And you're gonna move 50 sheets of that shit. You know what I mean? Like, factor it in. It's your back is worth it. All right, let's do one more here, Stromer.
All right, go.
Peter, 63 San Clemente. Peter.
Hey, Ace man, what is on? Get it on. Man.
Get it on, man. All right, we got a little.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes. Hold on a second, Peter. We got
like taking a walk.
We got some static going. It's like talking to Mike August, right?
That sounds like he's in the car with the window down.
Yeah. I never know because everything sounds like something. You know what I mean? Like, I always do this all the time. Like, what are you doing making an Orange Julius back there? And they go, no, I'm sitting in my den. I go, well, what's that? You got the window open? And they go, no. So sometimes it's just static. It's not always something. What are you doing, Peter?
Sorry, I'm down. I was sitting down here at the beach taking my daily 57-degree swim.
Nice
and
winner.
I saw you. I'm just kind of texting and saw you were taking calls. So it's a great time for me to do this because I've been freaking going nuts for the last 3 years. My tennis has been driving me crazy. There's a leak in my dining room. There's no now. The plumbing is about 20 feet away. Any plumbing. But there's a leak on the floor and the crack between the wood floor and the wall. And when I go outside to look at the stucco, I tore out the stucco all around that area. No leak, no water, just between the wood floor and the wall in the dining room. It's driving me freaking nuts for the last almost 8 months. I cannot identify where this leak would come. I dry it up, put the fan in there, and then a month later, you can see a little seeping going on.
Okay, couple of thoughts. Obviously, nothing going on above it?
Nada.
Okay. And no water source. I had this problem. It was like, it's not like you see a puddle of water. It kind of looks like the outside of your jeans when you piss yourself, right?
Exactly. That's what the wall looks like, right? Now, I could be getting up in the middle of the night taking a piss thinking it's my backyard. I don't know, but man, you never know.
this is something worth researching, and I never really researched it, but the first house I remodeled had the same kind of thing, like a moisture on the floor, like a wet spot. And it was in the living room on a fucking pony wall, and there was nothing around it. And I was crawling underneath the house, constantly looking for a pipe that had like a pinhole in it that was just misting underneath. There was never anything. It was just this constant moist spot. And there was no water source. And I determined it was like a possibly like a fungus or something. And I kept dumping bleach on it and doing everything. I could never get rid of it. Gary, see if you can find anything about this phenomenon, because I had the same thing, and it turned out, I think, to be like a fungus, like a mold or something.
So you're saying, like, when it gets hot out, it kind of melts, not melts, but it becomes fluid?
No, I'm not saying it's Frosty the Snowman. I'm saying it, I'm saying there's a type, there's a, so Gary, look up wet, look up moisture in-house. No water source.
And there's no slab under this?
Oh, let me see.
It's just all cement, because I was thinking maybe it could be like an irrigation hose that they messed up and went underneath that area. But the hose is like 10 feet away. There's nothing
slab,
near there.
The slab will wick stuff up.
Yeah. Okay. I wonder if there's – what year was the house built?
98.
Because I had a job where there was a burst pipe in the slab, and the same thing happened, and we didn't know there was even a pipe running through the slab. So maybe
that could be
a leak detection company can come and find exactly if moisture is emanating from something that's leaking.
That's what I was afraid I was going to hear, because I got a guy coming in like 7 days going to break the concrete up around that hole. Well, on the side of my house, and
before you can get a service that it's a leak detection company that'll literally find it almost like a divining rod, but it's technology, right?
Right.
And they could locate the emanation of moisture.
I like my poltergeist idea better because it's sexier, but
it could be ectoplasm too, which is, to your point, is paranormal for sure.
I agree with Stromer. All right, Gary, anything on this weird phenomenon I'm speaking of?
Not so far.
Okay. Well, we'll save it for the next show. Or not, because we'll forget about it. Hey, me, January 23rd, Burbank, Flappers Drive-In. And I should say Flappers is sponsoring it. It's the Pickwick Bowling Alley. I'm doing stand-up out in the parking lot. So it's a drive-up situation. So check that out. January 15th, 16th, Naples, Florida, Off the Hook Comedy Club. And February 26th, 27th, Oklahoma City, Bricktown Comedy Club. Go to amcarolla.com for all the live shows. And check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/AdamCarolla. Till next time, Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV and drop into that world for free, baby. That is free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows free. Yes, free. No subscription, no fees. 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else, from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV, and start streaming it now. So, you want to watch TV, you want to watch all your favorite shows, you want to cut that cable, you don't want to spend all that money. Well, how about you spend zero money with Pluto TV? Pluto TV, drop in, watch for free.
This is Corolla Digital.